Why do people give their children certain names that they do? Why do they name them different ways? For some, it's to be able to express their faith and the importance of it. Maybe for others, it's a family name or some other tradition like that. In the Bible, a name can be given to a child sometimes as a message from God. The naming of a child could be an important act that a prophet is inspired to do. And in giving that child a name, it's the Lord stating the key truth of that moment. Now, if you look into the Old Testament, sometimes it could be pretty ominous. A child was once named Jezreel, meaning God will sow, as in the Lord saying to them, you're going to get paid back for your crimes. Another child named Lo Ruhama, as in not pitied, that is, God's pity is exhausted for you people. Or Lo Ami, not my people. You know, the people have lost their covenant with the Lord. You know what? It's got to be pretty tough as a kid to be named that, to have your name be a message like that. Another child was named Maher Shalal Hashbaz, which means quick to the plunder. And his name was this prophetic message that this mighty army was coming to overwhelm them. Okay, maybe a little more positive, another child was named Shayar Jashub, meaning a remnant shall return. As in, yes, disaster has stricken you, but I will preserve a remnant to come back to Jerusalem. And so these names could definitely be very stark in that key message having to be that. But in our readings today, we have the important naming of children, and in this case, the names are very, very good news. Looking at our first reading from Isaiah chapter 7, we have the child shall be called Emmanuel. Called Emmanuel because it was so important for King Ahaz and all the people of Judah around about Jerusalem to know that indeed God is with us. You see, they're threatened by military conquest from multiple kings and alliance all at once to come upon Judah and Jerusalem, and they were terrified by that. It says in Isaiah, the heart of the king and the heart of the people trembled as the trees of the forest tremble in the wind. Before the message of our reading, God had warned them in the face of this fear, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And so in their weakness, in their fear and great danger, the special child is named after the key truth of the moment, Emmanuel, God is with us. Let their faith indeed be firm and be firm in God's presence, because indeed God was with them in power. And in the end, those invading kings and armies, they were overcome. And now we take that prophetic message at the time of Isaiah, that initial fulfillment that we have in his day with King Ahaz. And now in the Gospel of Matthew, our eyes are open to the ultimate fulfillment of God wishes to do with that prophecy and indeed with that incredible name. Now we have this ultimate fulfillment that's greater in every way. The virgin is the Immaculate Virgin Mary. And the child is conceived through the Holy Spirit. And this child is to be named Jesus. Really, Yeshua, Joshua, is really the origin of that name. And it means the Lord is salvation. Well, salvation from what? Is it from some more menacing nations, get the Romans out of here, things like that? No, it's salvation from sin itself. That ultimate conqueror who brings everlasting death. But only God can forgive sins, we know, and so therefore this child, Jesus, is literally Emmanuel. God is with us. And so as it turns out, Jesus Christ himself in person is the key truth of the moment. My brothers and sisters, today, still, Jesus Christ himself in person is the key truth of the moment. One of the most important ways that Emmanuel, God with us, this incredible reality is true for us today is through that gift that Jesus has given us, the gift of himself in the Eucharist, so worthy of our meditation. And in that, you know, he is not there as some static reality. Here's a hunk of Jesus. No, he's here as the living one who has veiled himself so that we would dare to approach. He is the one through whom all things were made, and delighting in them says it is very good. It is the one who gave the great gift of freedom for the even greater gift of love, even when it could be thrown back in his face. He is the one who has steadily pursued his beloved people through the ages and through the covenants and borne so much for them along the way. He is the one who not only lays down his life for his bride, but in doing so also destroys her enemy, conquering and taking away her sin so that she can be free. He is the one whose love is so great that by that love, death itself is swallowed up in victory. He is the one who steadily prepares the transforming final glory, which we, seeing only dimly now at this point, can simply describe as this great and ultimate wedding feast. This is the one that is the Eucharist. This is Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Lord. This one who has pursued us in great love all along. And as Fulton Sheen once said, the greatest love story of all time is contained in a tiny white host. The Eucharist is Emmanuel, God with us, indeed love with us. That's why we can say that the Eucharist is the sacrament of charity. God is love, and he places that love incarnate, Jesus, within us, through that gift of the Eucharist, so that we can love him with that divine love he has given us, and then his divine love can overflow from us. Think about it this way. Just as the Holy Spirit, as we heard in our gospel, just as the Holy Spirit once overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and then as she had said, "Let it be done to me according to your word," Jesus was there. So now, in the Eucharist, the Holy Spirit overshadows the gifts. When we have that part of the Eucharistic prayer called the epiclesis, that beseeching, the calling down of the Holy Spirit, and again, it is done according to God's word. This time, in Jesus' words of consecration, "This is my body, this is my blood." And the King of love then is with us. He is with us, and in a way that we can approach and receive him utterly. In this series on charity, we've looked again at what is this great gift of charity, this love of God, and then this love of neighbor for the sake of God. And then we've contemplated why charity is so important, because it unites us with God himself and makes us holy. We've also looked at how we're called to have vigilance against the enemies of charity that can thwart that in our lives, that sloth or acedia, that spiritual apathy, or that envy, or that pride, wherever there's that need for repentance in our lives. And then we've discovered that indeed it's through charity that we can find that lasting joy, peace, and mercy. But perhaps, you know, perhaps at times, maybe even often, we may fail at love or wish we could love more and better. You know, loving more and better both God and neighbor. How to do that? Well, my brothers and sisters, we've been given the gift of the Eucharist. Come to Jesus Christ, the King of love. Ask that he increase his charity within you. So important to ask for that, grace, that it be realized in our lives. Because indeed, the Eucharist is Emmanuel, God with us, the key truth of the moment. The Eucharist is God with us until we are fully with Him.